Lekuta Sichas Chelek Yud Zayin, Parsha Tazria, Sicha Aleph, a summary of the Sicha. In this week's Parsha, we find the mitzvah of Mitzvahs Mila, as it is found after Matan Torah. It's found back in Parsha Lech Lecha, where Hashem told Avraham Avinu, but then after Matan Torah, it's found in this Parsha. And from this Pasuk, Ubayim Hashmini Yimu B'sar Olasei, and on the eighth day the boy should have a bris, the Gemara learns that the word bayoy means that a bris can only take place during the day, not at night. So from the fact that we learned it from this pasuk, which took place after Matan Torah, we now know that this relates only after Matan Torah, but before Matan Torah was possible to have a bris also during the night. So why is it that before Matan Torah was okay to have a bris during the night, and after Matan Torah it's only possible to have a bris during the day? So to explain this, there's a medrash that tells the story of Mitzrayim, that many of the Yidden did not want to get a bris before they went out of Mitzrayim. So Hashem did this whole thing that he brought the aroma of Gan Eden, and he made it seem as if it was coming from Moshe Rabbeinu's Korban Pesach, and everybody from miles around could smell it, and they all came running that they want to have a piece of Moshe Rabbeinu's Korban Pesach. So he said to them, the Korban Pesach is called Oro Lo Yechol Bo, somebody who didn't have a bris can't eat from it. So they all had their bris so that they could have a piece of Moshe Rabbeinu's Korban Pesach. In other words, that the bris in Mitzrayim took place at night. They had their bris at night. So the question is, why is it that the Eibishter brought it around in such a way that they should want to have a bris, but he made it wait until at night? Why didn't he do the same thing a few hours earlier so that they could have their bris during the day? When is the appropriate time to have a bris? Even though it's possible, before Matan Torah wasn't necessary, but since we see that the Torah requires it to be during the day later after Matan Torah, so why wouldn't it have been better that they should have the bris during the day? So we'll understand this based on what is written in some of the Achreinim to answer this question of why the bris took place at night. How could the bris have taken place at night? Not why, but how could it have been done during the night, since a bris has to be during the day? So they say that night was Laila Kayom Yoir. The Zohar says that the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the night shone like the day. In other words, that it wasn't considered night. It was considered like the day, therefore they could have their bris. So this answer is challenged by the fact that they had to eat the Korban Pesach and the Matzah and the Morer Dafke at night, Balaylazah, that night. So if it's day, how could they eat the Korban Pesach? So therefore the Rebbe says, therefore we must say that there is a difference, that it was day only in regards to the mitzvah of Milah. But in regards to the mitzvah of eating the Korban Pesach, since Hashem had specifically instructed that it should be done that night, so it was specific to that night. So even though in a certain sense, in regards to Mila, it was considered day, but in regards to eating the Korban Pesach, it was considered night. But that itself needs to be explained. Why is it that in regards to the Mila, it's considered day? In regards to everything else, it's considered night. And the explanation is because the whole matter of Pesach, of Yetzias Mitzrayim, had to be done, as the word Pesach expresses, dilug, jumping, leaps and bounds. Nothing could have been accomplished if we would try to do it step by step. Because both Begashmias and Beruchnias, the Yidden, Mitzrayim was a place that the Medrash says that not even one slave was able to escape from Mitzrayim. So how would you expect millions of people to suddenly get up and leave? That wouldn't have been possible to go through the normal natural channels. The same also, the Yidden were in the 49th level of Klippa. They had sunk so low that to be able to work their way out of that depravity would have been impossible. Therefore everything had to be done as Pesach, as Dilug, as jumping leaps and bounds, an infinite unlimited approach. In order to be able to bring this infinite approach to the world down here, it has to start from the top down. all the way up on the highest levels of Ishtalshalus, there had to be this introduction of an oir, of a godly energy that was completely transcendent of the whole Seder Ishtalshalus. And even a step further back, in order that Ishtalshalus should have this kind of a new approach, it has to first start in Torah, because the whole world comes from the Torah. So therefore it started in Torah that there had to be an infinite level, and from there it trickled down into Ishtalshalus, from there down it trickled down into the lowest level of Ishtalshalus, which is in this world, in our reality. And that's the reason that Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu that the Bris Milah should take place at night. What does it mean that the Bris Milah should take place at night? In Torah there is a parameter which says that a bris has to take place during the day. But we are going to go with an approach which is that day and night are no longer of consequence. We're introducing a level of oir into the Torah which comes from beyond Torah, in which even the parameters of Torah are no longer relevant on that level. And therefore, a bris can take place even at night, to transcend all levels, and from there it trickles into Ishtalshalus, from there it trickles down into the reality that everything on that night is going to be done in an infinite way. Now, in order for the Yidden to be able to receive that kind of an infinite hashpa flow from above, from Torah, from beyond Torah, from beyond Ishtalshalus, and so on, they had to do something which was on that kind of a level, that kind of an avodah. And that's why they were given these two mitzvahs of Pesach and Milah, because both those mitzvahs have an infinite dimension to them. Pesach, the word itself tells us that it is infinite and beyond any kind of a limitation. It means to leap and leaps and bounds. And Milah also is an eternal connection. It talks about Bris Olam, an eternal bond with Hashem. So the whole nature of Milah is something which is eternal. And that's why these were the two mitzvahs that the Yidden had to do in order to prepare for this great revelation of the night of Pesach. Which explains also something interesting about these two mitzvahs. These are the only two mitzvahs asay, which are positive mitzvahs, which if you violate them, one would get the penalty of koris. Koris is usually is connected with a mitzvah loisaseh, and not every mitzvah loisaseh, only specific kinds. And these are the only two mitzvahs that have with them the penalty of koris. Why is that? Because since they are by nature eternal and infinite, so either you connect yourself to the infinite, or you're completely gone. There is no middle ground. There is no gray area here. Either if it was something within a normal parameter, and you could do better, you could do worse, there are levels in it, so then you could say, well, I didn't do great, but I didn't do horrible, I'm somewhere in the middle. There is still room for connection to Hashem, even if it's not on the highest level. But if it's an eternal thing, so either you're eternally connected, and if you're not, so then you're v'nichrasa, you have no connection at all, you're cut off altogether. The same with Pesach. Either you connect yourself to the eternal, and through this you'll be able to be brought from the depth of the brevity of Klippa, the 49th level, and you will have a revelation of godliness of Hashem himself, or if not, you're just stuck in Mitzrayim, and in the worst place of Mitzrayim, which is the 49 levels of Tumah, in other words, a place of like Mitzrayim, which is the most depraved place in the world. Either you get out, or you're stuck in the depth of it. So there is no middle ground. That's why both of them have the penalty of koris. And this explains now why before Matan Torah one could have a bris during the night as well. After Matan Torah, it's only during the day. The accomplishment of mitzvahs milah, which is to take somebody from one extreme to another, to bind us up into something eternal, was even greater before Matan Torah than it is after Matan Torah. Before Matan Torah, it took the Yidden from, as we said, the 49th level of Klippa in Mitzrayim, and it brought out a revelation of godliness. It put us into the domain of Hashem. It made us Hashem's people. It took us out of the domain of Klippa and put us into Hashem's domain. And not only in Hashem's domain, but Hashem himself came down to to redeem us. There was a revelation from the essence of Hashem on that night. In order, so that's the kind of milah that is completely transcendent, and there, it has no limitation of parameter at all, and therefore can be done at night as well. But once the Yidden had Matan Torah, and an order was established, and the Torah does have parameters, and there are things in the ways in which it has to be done. And when, even when we talk about Mila, which is an eternal connection to Hashem, even that eternal connection is also within a certain parameter. It's the parameter of Torah, but it's still a parameter, and therefore there are rules, and it has to be done dafka during the day and not at night. And the personal lesson for each one, every one of us, is that since a Yid has to practice Yetzias Mitzrayim all the time, because whatever level you are now is considered to be Mitzrayim to the level that you could grow to the next level. So you have to escape the current level in order to get to the new level. So we're always required to do Yetzias Mitzrayim. So Yetzias Mitzrayim has to be done in such a way that it is something eternal, meaning to say it has no parameter. You have to consider even the smallest Aveira as if it was the biggest Aveira. There is no levels in that kind of Aveira. And therefore, we have to consider even the smallest Aveira to be something to equal, because you're violating the will of Hashem. It doesn't matter if it's big or small. You're disconnecting from the eternal. And therefore, even somebody that is simple is willing to go on Mesiras Nefesh, even for the smallest violation, even a mitzvah derabbanan, a diktuk kal shel divrei sefer, in a small matter that the Rabbanan introduced, is willing to go on Mesiras Nefesh even for that, because it's a disconnection from the eternal. That's all you see in it, not levels of how much of a violation is it. We don't look at it that way.